All right, so on July 6th, be glad that I wore that shirt not just yesterday, but the day before, too, so I couldn't wear it today, make it 3 days in a row, because nobody would even been sitting that close. I always love wearing that red, white, and blue one for Independence Day. And I've actually, it hit me yesterday, I've had that shirt since not just before the youngest was born, but since the middle one. But I only wear it twice a year. Memorial Day, or no, Veteran, I guess three times sometimes. Memorial Day, July 4th, and then Veterans Day.
That clockwork.
Yes, but those are the only three times, because I know it's on limited time frame. If I wear it any more than that.
Do you have an Easter shirt?
That's it.
Yes. So anyway, why did I say all that? Independence Day, July 4th weekend. And we celebrate independence. And, you know, you think about, if we go back to our roots a little bit, our roots, I'll just call it July 4, 1776, independence. And how did things come about? You know, so while things can be an evolution, at some point there's a revolution that occurs that helps evolution transform into a new state, into a new place of being. Gosh, that was a lot of words, wasn't it? Okay, so, 1700s. You know, we're still under the authority of the King of... We're still under the laws of the King of England. We have to abide by the King of England's laws. And there's people here in this country to administer the laws of England. But then things start happening. Like, we have this thing called the Boston Tea Party. And I know this for a fact because I just looked it up during the break, asked Siri for some help. And she told me that the Boston Tea Party was December 16th, 1773. So just a few years, you know, 2.5 years before Independence Day. But kind of one of those triggering events. It got people really questioning, what's going on here?
Taxation.
Taxation without representation, right? Was the phrase that went along with that. People realize they're in a state of something's got to change for me to change. Something's got to change or this is just going to get worse and worse and worse. And as things continue to evolve over the next 2.5 years, some men got in a room and they made a decision. Now, this was a group decision, but each one of them had to individually make a decision on July 4, 1776. That thing called the Declaration of Independence. Those men put their life on the line. Matter of fact, most of those men did live or did die a traitor's death. But they knew when they were signing it that for sure, if things didn't, you know, it was burn the bridges, or burn the boats, excuse me. Oh, burn the bridges too, same expression. You know, there was no turning back. When they signed their name to it, John Hancock, you know, made his real big because he said, hey, I want them to see my name first. And, you know, they were putting their lives on the line for the independence that we now enjoy today. But independence, freedom from those laws of England back there. And we created a new country. We became independent. And it took a revolution then over the next couple years called the Revolutionary War. All right? So why do you start with this in a Bible study? Because salvation is a day of independence. When was your day of independence? All right, where are you in that? Are you in it? You know, I'll never forget my college roommate who to this day considers himself very religious, studies the Bible, goes to church every Sunday. And I remember Kim and I had a meal with the two, he and his wife. His wife's name is Kim. But anyway, and so John, you know, when did you get saved? And he says, when did I get saved? He says, well, I'm being saved. It's a process. No, just like the American Revolution. Yes, there's a process. There is an evolution. But there is a day, a specific moment in time when you say, wait a minute, and I'm making the comparison today to July 4, 1776, our day of independence. All right, but each one of those men kind of went through it too. You know, there was a document there. All right, the Declaration of Independence. But each one of those signers of the Declaration of Independence, even, you know, they had a last minute time where, okay, wait a minute, I'm about to sign my name to this thing. Do I really want it? Because it's death to me if we don't, through the revolution, gain our independence from England. And they go up there and they sign their name. They had to make a decision. Do I trust in our cause? Do I trust in what we believe in here, the freedoms that we're all believing in? Do I want to be free from taxation without representation? Whoever said that over here. Right? And they made a decision to sign their name to that piece of paper. And there was no turning back once that thing went public. All right, it's out there. All right, they trusted in the cause, and they just said, hey, either this works or it doesn't. I believe in this enough to trust enough to put my name on it. Okay. The day of independence. And we celebrate that July 4th every year. But again, the analogy I want to make to you right now. So Romans, if you will, go back to Romans chapter 8. We read this verse earlier in the first hour. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. We were made free from it, from that law of sin and death, just as in the 1700s, those people there in Philadelphia in Independence Hall, you know, helped that country become free from the law of England. They just claimed it. Again, I'm trying to make an analogy here, so stay with me. And there might be some things that don't come together exactly. But they were under the law of England. And they said, no, from this day forward, we're going to be free from the law of England. Just like verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is what hath made us, you know, made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Okay, that's our day of independence. Now, we won't all celebrate the same day of spiritual independence because we each have our own day. Matter of fact, chances are not one of us has the same day as we all have the same July 4th, 1776. Alright? But each one of us has a different, and it probably was different ages for each one of us also. Alright? Mine just happened to be July 5th, 1983. It's funny, I was at a Bible conference, and the day before, July 4th, 1983. I remember, so I was sitting right next to my mother-in-law. She was sitting right here, and that was her day of salvation. And that was so great, you know, jump ahead 25, 30 years, however many more it was, when she passed, to know back. I'm now sitting right next to her. She got under conviction. Brother Moore preached. Brother Jerry preached that night. Brother Moore always preached every night. So I don't remember who the other preachers were this specific night she got saved. But she got under conviction. I remember I'm one of the guys even preaching the gospel to her afterwards. And she's like, wow, I'm lost. What do I do? Man, all you got to do is believe in the gospel. You know, Christ died for your sins. He was buried, raised again for your justification. You just believe that, you're saved. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace through God our Savior. And preaching those, saying those scriptures to her. And I didn't even know at the time I was a lost man. But as I found out the next night, I was lost at the time. But I knew that scripture. It's amazing. The Lord can use lost people. I mean, He did it throughout the Bible, did He not? I love Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? I was saying that one to her. You'll have that peace, you know. Well, the next night, three men all preached the same message, which is a message I'm trying to preach to you in a different way right now. When was your moment of independence? Their message was, when was your moment of salvation? And really they called it, when did you get lost? Because you got to get lost before you can get saved. Those people had to realize, they had to come to a point where they said, those people 200 some years ago, I don't like living under the laws of England. I want something different. All right? We have to realize we're lost before we can get saved. No different than, if we're driving in a car. I wasn't real sure. I was coming down 130 yesterday. Or we were about to get on it anyway. And so I texted George. In this day and age, we can do our texting, right? Hey, which exit do I get off, I guess I could have put it in Siri, but anyway. And, so I'll say I was a little bit lost until I reached out. And George told me which exit. He said it's exit, Route 29, Georgetown. Well, okay, I knew that I needed to get to 29. There was an exit for that. So he told me that, okay, I was no longer lost. But I had to first realize I was lost before I could reach out and do something about it. Yeah, I'm trying to make some analogies here. But, in the old days, it used to be, we're driving around, you had to realize you're lost before you pull the car over, reach in the glove compartment, get out the map and figure out, but until you do, oh no, honey, I'm not lost here. Let me see, do I want to go right or left? I don't know. You got to admit you're lost, right? You got to admit it. And that'll be an interesting part too, because for some of us guys, pride enters in. Well, I don't want to pull over on the road because then my wife will know I was lost. And, I can't do that. I'm supposed to know these things. No, there's nothing wrong with admitting you're lost, because only then can you get found. Only then can you get saved. All right? So your day of independence. And three men preached that thing. When did you get lost? When did you realize that you had not yet trusted in the gospel of Christ? You may have known this all your life. Man, we were in church every Sunday, every Wednesday. My dad was choir director. We had keys. We had to unlock the church doors. All right? I mean, from knee-high to a grasshopper till the end of high school anyway, when my parents had control over where I was. We were there all the time. And it was amazing. Some Sundays, I swear, there's more cursing that goes on Sunday mornings than any other day of the week. Getting ready for church, right? I'm sure nobody else in here can relate to that. But anyway, so I knew the facts about this, the historical facts. I knew that Christ hung on a cross. I knew that He was buried. I knew He was raised, raised from the dead 3 days later. Pardon me. I've known that all my life. I'm not sure I remember a day where I didn't know that in my entire life. But yet, I got to the age 24, being lost. Even got married, being a lost man. But three men preached, when did you get lost? And each one of those got me thinking a little bit more, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more. It's like, well, I remember walking an aisle when I was 14, so why'd you walk an aisle? Well, because that church said you're supposed to have an altar call every single week. And I got tired of people, hey, Steve, you never walked. What did you walk the aisle? Well, Well, I knew that I hadn't walked an aisle. I got tired of people asking me that. After all, my dad was choir director. So one Sunday, and of course there was probably something with the girlfriend or something to get you a little emotional. So I walked an aisle. And then the whole time up there, it's like, man, when is this going to be over? It wasn't, Lord, you know, I realize I'm a sinner. It was, when is this going to be over? People come up, put their arms around me and crying. And are you kidding me? This has anything to do with salvation? The people want it to be an emotional event. And then, you know, you get a little bit older, maybe the things in life become a little bit more serious or so we think, and you're 16 or 17. Do that one more time. But once again, that was just to rededicate my life. Didn't want to admit I was lost. It was just an emotional thing. And then I even had a third thing. I mean, so this whole time, these three men are preaching, when did you get lost? I'm going to these events in my life, because you had to have a specific time. You would remember it. Now, I certainly didn't remember the dates or anything. That's okay. You don't have to remember your date of salvation. You might, but you don't have to. But you would remember the events around it. I mean, you at least know what state you were in and where you were, all right? And I went to, wait a minute, how about when I was 17 or 18, I got baptized. You know, that church didn't really do much baptisms, but they had one time, and I remember my dad and I actually got baptized together. A great emotional event. There were probably a half a dozen of us that Sunday afternoon all got baptized. Well, I'm talking water baptized. They never asked us when we got saved. It was just, if you want to get baptized, okay, well, you're supposed to, I guess, so we got baptized. And then I was going back to that one, but it's, what were you believing? What were you trusting in that moment? That's what you have to go back to. All right, that's what you need to go back to is your, when was my Independence Day? When was my day of salvation? What was I believing in? What was I trusting in? Why was I in that state to begin with? Was it just I wanted an emotional event in my life just because I thought you're supposed to have one? Pardon me. Or did I see myself as lost for the first time? That was the first time. And I've been studying the word rightly divided for a year at that time. Almost a year. I even knew right division for crying out loud. I knew Paul was our apostle. It only took a few weeks of seeing that. I mean, that was obvious. The scriptures were clear as could be. But that night, thank you. That night, those three men all preaching the same thing. When did you get lost? And I realized that there never had been a day in my life when I got lost. When did you see yourself as a lost sinner, doomed for hell? As a lost sinner, realizing there was nothing you could do to dress this flesh up, to get good enough. It wasn't stop doing these things and start doing these things. None of that matters. None of that matters a bit. It's all, what are you trusting in for your salvation? I was like, wow, there never was a night where I was lost. There never was a night. Thank you very much for doing that. I appreciate that. And I got under conviction. And I think, and again, making an analogy, much like these signers of the Declaration of Independence, they're under conviction there for a while. Wait a minute, this isn't going to work how it is. What are you going to do about it? But I got under conviction. Wait a minute. As I tried to rationalize, and just like with the analogy earlier about driving around, you got to get lost before you can stop and get found. You know, get the map out. I was just, pride was entering in. I can't admit that I'm lost. That would mean I was doing all the wrong things for 24 years. Yeah, you were. Because there is nothing you can do or not do. Because it has nothing to do with it. It is all total believing in and trusting in this work. That's the only work that has anything to do with our salvation. And for an hour and a half, I kept trying to pull that car over. And every time I'd start to slow down to pull the car over to get the map out of the glove compartment, to say, I admit I was lost. pride would enter in. I'd keep going along. Because I wouldn't, pride was getting in. That was Satan's last attempt. Okay, this guy, you know, I can just see him in his spiritual realm there, watching people. Oh, that person's seeing that they're lost. I better get in there with pride and help them make sure they know that, yeah, they can get good enough. And they, you know, they've been studying the Word rightly divided. They know Scriptures. They know the Gospel of Christ. So, what's that got to do with salvation?
You got to reach that end of that road.
You got to get there. There is a point, and that's my point today on Independence Day. Because we all need to have, there is an Independence Day. Because, go to 2 Corinthians 5, I know we read this a lot of times, but let the Scripture see, you got to see it in Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. See, the work was already done for every single one of us in the world 2,000 years ago. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, He was in Christ while He was hanging on that cross, reconciling the world unto Himself. Once again, I know we say this every time, but it didn't say reconciling the people that would eventually trust in Him for salvation and get saved. No, it says reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Everyone's sins were placed on Him and were paid for. Nobody today goes to hell for the sin they commit. All sins were forgiven right then and there. Now that's blasphemy in a lot of churches today, but hang on, don't argue with me, argue with the Scripture. We're going to get to one or two more Scriptures here. You know, what saith the Scripture? It's just like, let's go back to the analogy of driving. Right? If there's a speed limit sign that says speed limit 45, even if I don't see it, if I don't believe it, and I'm driving 55 and the cop stops me and writes me a ticket, I can't say, well, I don't believe it. Yeah, what is the speed limit sign? It says 45, whether you think it should be that or not. That's the way it is, because that person in authority has put that in place. You know, God is that person in authority that has put in place the gospel of Christ, the gospel of our salvation, whether we believe it or not. We can follow the wrong gospel and believe that that's the right gospel. It doesn't matter what we believe. It's what saith the authority, which is the King James Bible. What saith the Scripture? 11 times in Romans to Philemon, there's a term, gospel of Christ. It's the only place you'll see it in the Bible, is in Romans to Philemon. The gospel of Christ, the gospel of our salvation. Right? Verse 21 of Romans, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Come to Colossians. Come to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 says, and you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you how many trespasses? All trespasses. And all means? All. It always has, it always will. All trespasses were forgiven back here. The question is, when did you realize that you had not yet trusted in the completed work of Christ? Trusted in the gospel of Christ? How that when He died and died for the sins of the world, when did you put yourself up there with Him? Oh yeah, that meant my sins. And when He took the sins of the world to hell, when did you realize I had not yet trusted that my sins went there too? Oh yeah, He took my sins to hell. And then on the third day, God the Father raised Him for not just the justification of everybody in the world, but for your justification, if you'll simply believe in that and trust in that. When was the moment that you realize I have not yet done that? And based on that, right here and now, I'm going to ask the Lord to save me, and He will, because He says He will. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yeah, it's that easy. And it took me an hour and a half, and finally I got there. I wanted to think I was good enough, and I had to realize I was no different than anybody else in the world. Nobody can be good enough to earn their way in. Nobody can be bad enough to stay out. I remember very distinctly in Houston going to a hospital there to, this was about this time last year, to witness to the father of someone in our Bible study there who was basically on his deathbed, and the man thought that he was too bad. He had sinned too much for the Lord to save him. He just couldn't come. He wasn't allowing himself to say, yeah, he died for that sin too. He thought he had one or two that were that bad. In our world, we might call them that bad. But Scripture said, he who hath broken one point has broken all points. I guess that means you and I broke those two that guy considered so bad. You and I are guilty of them too. Because if you've broken one point, we've all broken at least one. Probably at least once. We're guilty of all. But praise the Lord, he hath made him to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Come back to Ephesians chapter 1. Some basic verses, but the power is in the word, so we're going to read them. In Ephesians, I may have said chapter 1, let's start with chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 7. Starting in verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, our works have no part of our salvation. Otherwise, we boast in it. If there's something we could do, we would boast in it. That was a verse during that hour and a half. I can tell you that I kept coming to, oh, wait a minute. You know, to not admit you are lost even on that July 5th, 1983 night. It's because I wanted to boast in some of those things. Well, I walked, or I dumped, or I. There is no I in salvation. I guess there is near the end. There is no I in saved. There you go. There's no I in saved. There's no I in trust. This is working. It's a serious matter, and I don't mean to make light of it. Come on. All right? So that's a great passage right there. It is total grace. And praise the Lord, we live out here because it is total grace without works. Because up until Acts chapter 9, it was faith and works. For 1,500 years, it was faith and works. And out here in the future, boy, you better believe works are part of it. And you better believe there's a work that person might do that there is no second chance. They are doomed for eternity. They take the mark of the beast in the trip. So we'll leave it at that for now. Come back to Ephesians chapter 1. Starting in verse 12, he says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. And trusting in Christ is the context here as we go into verse 13. So who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. Put your name in there, because that would be your salvation whenever that day was for you. In whom ye also trusted. Look how it describes this now. After that you heard the word of truth. The word of truth? Yeah, the next phrase tells you what that word of truth is. It's the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that you believe, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. When you heard that gospel preached, how that Christ died for your sins, took them to hell, was buried, and raised again the third day for your justification. You heard that preached, you believed in it, and then you trusted in that and that alone for your salvation. You came to a point of realizing there never has been a moment in time where I asked the Lord to save me based on believing that and that alone, where I trusted in that and that alone. And just like there is a day, July 4th, 1776, so there is a day in your life. And you don't have to remember it. That's the cool thing. They'll have parades, if you will. Forget that. It doesn't matter if you remember that exact day, but you would remember, just like these guys. Hey, if they didn't know it was July 4th, that event still happened. They would have known there was a building in Philadelphia they were in when they went up there and signed it. And they probably remember who signed that declaration before them and who signed it after them. And they probably remember wrestling in their minds with different things. Do I really trust in this enough to get it out there and put my name on there and become a signer of the Declaration of Independence? And there's that split second where they're still, oh man, if this doesn't work, I'm doomed for hell because King George is coming for me. I'm just going to trust. And boom, right then and there, they're now a signer of the Declaration. A second before they were not yet, a second later they were. And it was sealed. There was no erasing that ink. It was sealed permanently. So their eternity was destined right then and there. You know, either this program's going to work and it's freedom and independence, or it doesn't work and it's to hell with me anyway because in this case, I don't like the life I'm in under the laws of England. I'm just going to die under the laws of England anyway. Same with us. The law of sin and death, there's nothing I can do anyway. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is what I deserve. I can't do anything anyway. I'm going to sign that declaration. I'm going to ask the Lord to save me, realizing that I haven't done that yet. I haven't signed it yet. I want my name on that Declaration of Independence. I want that moment of salvation. And I know that I haven't yet signed that declaration. I haven't yet call upon the name of the Lord to save me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
It's a syntax.
Yes, that would be a good way to look at it. Romans chapter 10.
K-O.
Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. These are just great verses to use with people. Oh, yeah?
Oh, no.
Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, there's just a moment where we confess. We believe it in our heart. We confess it with our mouth. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Okay, so there in verse 17. Okay, so the word is preached. They're believing it. They trust in it. They're saved. They're sealed. That's the order of events. Then verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And praise the Lord for that verse right there. You know, when we say, oh, you know, King James is the word of God in English. And all the people want to say, well, you know, you tell me I can't get saved through this version, that version. No, it doesn't matter what version, because faith cometh by hearing. Praise the Lord, preachers. You know, it's faith cometh by hearing. Just let the words go there. Okay? But as we wrap up here, July 4th is a day that we celebrate every year. We have parades, we have fireworks.
Shoot guns.
There's no missing it.
Shoot guns.
Shoot guns. Actually, today I heard on the news this morning, now we're going to have to start getting rid of fireworks because it makes our young people want to become warriors and go to war. So we got to get rid of fireworks.
I can see that. I think we need to sign a declaration.
Yeah, that's for sure. Done for a anyway. Okay, so just as July 4th celebrates that day, because there was a moment in time, 200 and some years ago, where this country gained its independence, I want you to think about, do you have that freedom? Do you know that you're free from the law of sin and death? Do you know that you, just as these people became free from the laws of England, that there is no law that can doom you today? Think last passage, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Because everybody that has that day of salvation, everybody that knows they're free, that they have that freedom, they have that independence, they know their Independence Day, they can go back right now, know where they're... what was the name of that building again? Independence Hall. They know where their Independence Hall was. It might have been in their car at a red light. But right then and there, they realize, sitting at a red light, you know what? I know that I'm a lost sinner doomed from hell. And right here, in this car right now, before that right light turns green, I'm calling upon the name of the Lord to save me. And you did it right. I know three people, that's their testimony of salvation. That literally is where they got saved. They know what color the car was, what kind of car they were in, where that intersection was. They know that's their Independence Hall. That's where they gained that independence, that freedom, free from the law of sin and death. Because everybody that has that, whenever their last breath on earth is, either that's dying a natural death, like Barry Hampton went to sleep one night, didn't wake up the next morning. Whether it's a car accident where a person is killed in that car. Whether it's, you know, they become 100 and however many years old and some illness finally gets them. Or this event called the rapture, the calling out of the body of Christ. Actually, flip back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would have not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that in Christ, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, so we're alive and remain until this event, until the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain until this event, alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. How comforting can that be? That's when we go to be with the Lord. Whether we die first and go to sleep in the Lord, and then that day, or whether we're alive and remain until that day, because we know not when this day is. But either way, that's when we go to be with the Lord for eternity. If we're not saved at our last moment of breath on this earth, whether we die a natural death, whether we die in a car accident, whether this event happens, especially if we're alive and remain, with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, this would be us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'll start in verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Okay. Who perishes? Here it comes. Because they receive not the love of the truth, the gospel of Christ. Just as in Ephesians 1:13. The gospel of your salvation. The truth of the gospel. verse 10 again now, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, what cause? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Well, why would he do that? That they all might be damned who believe not the truth of the gospel, who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, literally, he's talking about this 7-year period of great tribulation.
Amen.
Anybody that is alive and is lost did not ever have an Independence Day, did not ever have that moment of freedom where they trusted in the Christ, trusted in the gospel of Christ and called upon the name of the Lord to save them. And this event happens. They will walk into this time period. God will send them a strong delusion so that they'll believe a lie, take the mark of the beast, and be damned. Why in the world would God Almighty want them to be damned? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They rejected the gospel of Christ. Every time you hear that gospel, a person hears that gospel of Christ, you do an R word to it. You either receive it or you reject it. Now, you can keep rejecting it many, many times. All you have to do is receive it once, and once you do, Ephesians 1:13, you're saved and sealed until the day of redemption. There's the day of redemption right there.
But if you don't mind, but if they don't receive it, what does that
mean? Then they rejected it. Have not received it, you do one or the other. You either receive it or reject it. But if you reject it right now, you can still receive it at the next red light or the red light after that.
Hopefully.
But when you're thinking about that each time, you're either receiving it or rejecting it. But all you ever have to do is receive it once. And you now have independence. You now have freedom from the law of sin and death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is a gift. And by definition, a gift. Nothing you can do to get that gift. It is there. It's offered to you. All you have to do is receive it. You can reject it, but it's yours if you just receive it. But that's all we have to do. And then we have Independence Day. But the key thing is, you would know at least the circumstances about that. Okay, and that's key. I want you to think back today. When was your personal Independence Day? And if you're having trouble coming up with that, then I would urge you to get to the point that this lousy guy right here came to. Get pride out of the way and just realize that means you don't have a day of independence, because you would remember the circumstances about it. Right? But once you have it, you have it, you're free forever, free from the law of sin and death, and you have independence. When was your Independence Day? Question or comment?
I was just going to say that, you know, when you're lost, you're typically, well, most people aren't lost with other people. This lost is an individual person being lost.
And thank you for trying to get that right as well. Thanks for
so when you're in that lost mode, or your best bet is to just get by yourself. Get away from people. If you have this question as to whether you might be saved or lost, get away from people.
I'll come back for a quick second here. I remember running right up to Brother Moore. Running right up to Brother Moore after that. Brother Moore, I got a problem with that. I think I'm lost. Well, he knew right away what that meant. You're under conviction.
Yeah.
And the wisdom of that man, he said, well, what you want me to do about it? As if there was something he could. He just did everything he could. Preaching to lost believers, preaching the gospel of Christ, getting this guy to understand he was a lost sinner doomed for hell, coming to a point of conviction. What you want me to do about it? The wisdom of that. And like you just said, it's not go get somebody to help you. I wanted him to tell me, yeah, that time you did this, or the time you believed that. No, you're lost. Go deal with it.
Like
you've got to come to that point yourself. It's between you and the Lord.
Go to that goat shed.
Go to that goat shed. It is. We all have an independence hall in our life. We all have a goat shed moment in our life. Those are great analogies. A red light. A green light. I'll make it green instead of red light. That might keep us out of hot water. All right, a green light. Anywhere can be your independence hall. A lot of people, it's in their bed at night. 2 o'clock in the morning. For my wife, it was about 2-3 o'clock in the morning. She's wrestling with it a lot of the night. And finally just got lost enough to say, okay, I'm giving up right here. Hey, go celebrate Independence Day.
Amen. It's weekend.